Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest today is Alan Thomas. All of the declared presidential candidates and their stance on the student loan debt crisis. So, you know, Alan, how are you?
Good to be with you.
Thank you. Let's start with the latest declared candidate, which is Kamala Harris. I saw her press conference. Alan?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we have a sort of a bad connection here. Yeah, Kamala Harris, I'm sorry to say, she is taking her talking points ripped right from the pages of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, Hillary Clinton called for debt-free college. But when you actually looked at her proposal, unfortunately, it did nothing to change the lending system. And what it did was created a new pot of money for the colleges to draw from. But looking at her proposal in any detail reveals that the colleges would very easily find a way to get around the so-called debt-free moniker. So in other words, the colleges would capture all that wealth, but at the end of the day, the students would have wound up borrowing as much as they ever had. So unfortunately, Kamala Harris appears to be taking her cues from something called the Center for American Progress, which is who Hillary Clinton was listening to. This is a corrupted Beltway think tank. And unfortunately, while debt-free college sounds great, in actual fact, it would do nothing to decrease borrowing because the schools, by and large, would transfer their tuition charges to other charges. So instead of charging tuition, they would increase their dormitory prices, their fees, their all the other billable items that can be tacked on a college bill.
Okay.
I wish I could say something better about Kamala Harris. Oh, you know, the second point, Cynthia, is that even if Kamala Harris's debt-free college plan performed as advertised, which it absolutely will not, but even if it did, that would do nothing, absolutely nothing, for the 50-plus million people who vote, by the way. Future college students do not vote, but the 50-plus million people who have already been through college and already have the loans to show for it would not be benefited one iota by such a plan. So it's really a non-starter, and it's really kind of insulting at this point.
And when you had heard her about her announcement and what she said about the student loan debt crisis, were you disappointed?
Well, you know, all the politicians can talk through the crisis all day long. They can talk about all these people who are struggling and who are being preyed upon and, you know, how it's such a terrible thing. But what really matters is what they propose. And Hillary Clinton proposed debt-free college. It was a non-starter. Bernie Sanders proposed tuition-free college. Again, it's a non-starter. And so to hear yet another politician talk to the problem and then propose something that is just inane, at this point in my career, I would say it's almost beyond insulting. It's a slap in the face.
Now, I had gone to one of the Bernie Sanders rallies in Albany, and there was a woman who was in her 70s who was cheering on all the kids. You know, there were tons of kids that went to the rally, and they were, she was screaming at them, "Feel the burn, feel the burn," and they were all, like, reacting to her statements. And I looked at her, and I said, "Mabel, that's all well and good, but what about all of the 45 million Americans that have student debt? You know, paying, you know, college-free tuition is great, but there's many people who have student debt that's not being addressed. And she looked at me as if to say, please don't confuse me with the facts. So,
yeah.
You know, people, college free is going to solve, tuition free, I'm sorry, college is going to save all the problems, but it's not addressing the main issue.
That's right. The $1.7 trillion elephant in the room is the existing student loan debt. You know, and by the way, you know, as I said before, but people who haven't yet been to college, that is who these so-called tuition-free, debt-free college plans would benefit. You know, and as I said, they probably won't even perform as advertised in the first place. But even if they did, they do nothing for the 15-plus million people who do vote and have already been through college. And so, on the one hand, college kids are being just extremely badly misled. And on the other hand, politically, it's just the stupidest thing in the world because people who haven't yet been to college don't vote. So as far as political calculations go, that is just the height of stupidity. From, you know, if you want to attract voters, you should really put something in front of them that would actually benefit them rather than this sort of smoke and mirrors two-step. It's a dodge, and we've seen it too many times at this point. And I can only hope that some of the other candidates in the field will start actually talking about plans that actually benefit the people who have already been through school, already have the loans to show for it. And that starts, by the way, with the return of the standard bankruptcy rights that the founding fathers demanded ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army, ahead of the power to coin currency. You know, bankruptcy rights is something that nobody wants to really talk about because it's such a sort of such stigma around the issue. But the fact of the matter is that student loans are the only type of loan in our nation's history to be specifically vacated of standard bankruptcy rights. And that lies at the foundation of this monstrous lending system that we now are threatened so dearly by.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there was another declared candidate since we last spoke, and that's Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand has been a complete waste of space, at least as far as the student loan issue goes. To my knowledge, she's never co-sponsored a meaningful bill, certainly never sponsored a meaningful bill. And I don't want to sound too cynical here, but, you know, in my view, Kirsten Gillibrand would do absolutely nothing on the student loan problem. She doesn't appear to have any meaningful knowledge or wisdom about it. I just don't have anything good to say about Senator Gillibrand.
Now, has there been other declared candidates? I watched the programs. Have I missed anybody?
Well, yeah. You know, there's two candidates that I have my eye on as far as the student loan problem goes. The first is Congressman John Delaney out of Maryland. He's the first guy to announce.
Okay.
Congressman Delaney introduced two very good bills in 2014-2016 that would have, repealed the one line of code that makes student loans treated differently from all other loans in bankruptcy proceedings. And he did this when, you know, the spotlight was off. Nobody even knew his name. But yet he introduced this legislation, which I found very encouraging. And so I can only hope that he takes that same sense with him into the presidential race. The other candidate is Senator Elizabeth Warren. Now,
right.
We've got a little bit of a history with Senator Warren. So we were featured top story on 60 Minutes in 2006, and I was featured, and Senator Warren also was interviewed in that piece. And, you know, back then in 2006, when she was teaching bankruptcy law at Harvard, she really nailed it. I mean, she clearly understood the problem, clearly explained it. And this was really her sort of launching pad into the public spotlight. However, I have to say that since Senator Warren has been in the Senate, she has done really nothing meaningful on this issue. She's thrown out a couple of bills for refinancing, and, you know, she's talked to the problem somewhat, but I've been very, very disappointed in Senator Warren up to this point as far as actual legislation that she has either sponsored or endorsed as a senator. So I can only hope that as she embarks on her presidential campaign, that she will sort of dance with who brought her there and revisit the issue of bankruptcy and student loans. I'm pretty hopeful, but up to this point have been very disappointed. If she wants to be taken seriously by the electorate, she will really dig into this and take it seriously. And at a minimum, fight for the return of the bankruptcy rights that frankly should have never been taken away from student loans.
Now, what's the statistic now? Is it over 45 million?
Well, if you count, there's about 45 million people who hold student loans, but it's another 10 to 15 million who are co-signed on student loans also.
Okay.
So we're talking well over 50 million people at this point have their names on student loans. And although the official statistic is about $1.5 trillion, I can tell you, Cynthia, we're way above that now. In fact, I think that we are probably at about $2 trillion when you count all the capitalized interest. Yes. When you count all the capitalized interest and when you count people who took private lines of credit off of maybe their home equity to put their kids through college, then the number grows even larger still. So this is a huge problem, and as many people are affected as, frankly, it takes to elect a president. You know, I think Donald Trump got somewhere around 55 or 56 million votes this last election, and we were right about there as far as people who are directly affected by student loan debt. So the numbers are just astonishing.
Now, in 2016, Jill Stein was the only candidate who seriously addressed the issue. And she only got a small percentage of the vote. And there's so many people that are struggling, more than struggling, to deal with their economic situation. Why did she not resonate further into their consciousness?
Well, you know, and that's a good point. In fact, the Green Party was the only party that we, StudentLoanJustice.org, could support in the presidential campaign. Why it didn't – and by the way, the Green Party, Jill Stein, was pushing for the cancellation of all student loan debt, which is – an even more viable proposal today than it was 2 years ago. Why it didn't resonate, you know, I think all the standard reasons for any third-party candidate apply here. You know, people want to vote for a winner, and the bicameral lock that the Republicans and Democrats have on the voters in this country is a really tough nut to crack. But, you know, I think people are so disgusted with Congress and American politics these days. I think that we'll see some big things from the Green Party or perhaps other third parties coming up. People have seen that this Republican-Democrat duopoly is really probably more trouble than it's worth at this point. And so, you know, and again, a lot depends on the media. Fortunately or unfortunately, the media has a very strong effect on public opinion. And typically, most mainstream media have corporate paymasters. And so, so we'll see. We'll see what the grassroots can do. And, you know, I look forward to supporting the Green Party again this time around. While it's a very tough argument to make, I think at this point, if bankruptcy protections are not returned to student loans in the very near future, writing off the debt is just absolutely going to happen. There's just no other alternative. Student loans will become one large national joke, and the entire $2 trillion portfolio is going to vanished into a mist of popular illegitimacy. And so it'll be really interesting to see how the Green Party, what they do in the future.
Now, the Democrats won a majority of seats in the House of Representatives. Do you think that's going to make a difference?
Well, I think it will. You know, historically, the Democrats have been a lot more far kinder to student loan borrowers than the Republicans have. But, you know, the Democrats have very serious problems as well. They are caught up in the palace intrigue. They are also very beholden to corporate masters, banking masters, Wall Street, et cetera. But, you know, on balance, I have to say that the Democrats hold a little more promise for student loan borrowers than the Republicans do. You know, a lot of this comes down to a couple of key people like Jerry Nadler, who's a New York congressman out of Manhattan. He is now head of the House Judiciary Committee, and he is going to have more than likely a bill very soon in front of him in his committee that would repeal 11 U.S. Code 523 parentheses A parentheses 8. This is the one line of code that makes student loans treated differently from all other loans in bankruptcy proceedings. And so if Jared Nadler wants to maintain the, you know, blue collar principled roots of the Democratic Party, and he would do well to do this, then he will push this legislation when it comes, and he will at a minimum get it up for a vote. And I can only hope that that will happen. But, you know, I'm dubious, Cynthia. The Democrats, while they appear to be slightly better than the Republicans, you know, it's, both parties are at this point kind of two sides of a pretty stained coin. And so I you know, what I can say is that it is going to take the people, the constituents. They are really going to have to get off their butts and fight for this. And whether they're in Jerry Nadler's district or whatever district they are in, they have to own this problem, take it seriously, and start fighting, because that is the only way that this democracy is going to work for us, is when we fight.
Now, one person who has made some waves, not only in Washington, but throughout the country, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Has she been speaking about the student loan crisis at all?
Yeah, that's a great point. Like Jill Stein, the Green Party, Ocasio-Cortez has called for the cancellation of all student loan debt, which we applaud, you know, strongly. So she made these remarks on the campaign trail. I haven't heard her say anything since she's been sworn in. But again,
okay,
you know, this session is very early. She's only been sworn in for like 20 days. But she certainly is generating a lot of heat and light on the Hill. And so, you know, we look forward to working with her. You know, I think it's really good that people are at least discussing the prospect of canceling all student loan debt. While politically, I mean, if getting bankruptcy rights restored was hard, you know, getting all loans canceled is going to be politically impossible in the current climate. Still in all, I think it's very good that people like Ocasio-Cortez are out there calling for this. And, you know, who knows? As I said, if bankruptcy rights are not returned, I would say this congressional session, then we can look forward to something like the cancellation of all student loan debt down the road. Now, that could be very ugly. There could be a lot of civil strife and unrest that goes along with that, a lot of social problems. And so I'm a little leery. But nonetheless, I'm very glad to see people like Cortez out there. And really, if you think about it, if we can throw $7 trillion into Iraq and Afghanistan, I think we can throw a couple trillion dollars at student loan debt and make that problem simply go away. You know, some of the macroeconomic and socioeconomic problems that we're seeing these days with you know, the delay in family formation. People aren't able to buy houses. People aren't able to start businesses. You know, this is a wet blanket over our economy. And to inject, you know, $1.5 trillion into the economy certainly would have great benefits, not just macroeconomically, but also socioeconomically.
You know, you and I have talked in the past, and we're talking now about people who have incurred debts, but there's the economy, there's real estate agents, there's car dealers, there's people who sell big ticket items. I don't know why they're not up in arms about this problem.
Well, you know, they are more and more. A couple of years ago, both in the same week, both Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, and also Bill Dudley, who was the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, they both publicly pointed out that, you know, their other markets are suffering. You know, over $100 billion in interest alone accrues to the student loan portfolio every year. So that's $100 billion that is not going into the consumer economy. And, you know, that is a significant chunk of change. And particularly when you consider that this is being imposed largely on the younger people in the country, you know, that really bodes not well for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years down the road. And mm-hmm. So we are seeing some people starting to point out this fact outside of Congress. Hopefully, and I can't say anything right now, but I can tell you for sure that we will have some meaningful legislation to look at in the very near future, hopefully weeks, not months. And I can only encourage everybody out there who has student loans that you need to get ready to fight. Because nobody's going to fight for you, apparently,
right.
on Capitol Hill. And the people really need to own this problem and stand up for themselves. Because history has shown if they do not, they will be buried. And
now,
that's not
Nadler,
an outcome anybody wants.
Jerry Nadler, do you think he is for, you know, eliminating all debt for people with student loans?
Oh, I doubt it strongly. Jerry Nadler and most people in Congress are, you know, fairly established folks, and they are beholden to corporate America, to the banks, to the investment banks, and to, frankly, the Department of Education, which fights tooth and nail, certainly to keep bankruptcy gone from student loans. So I don't think most members of Congress are, you know, you'd probably get laughed out of their office if you brought them a proposal to forgive all student loan debt. But I do think that Jerry Nadler and every member of Congress has a constitutional duty to, at a minimum, return the bankruptcy rights to student loans that should have never been taken away.
Wow. So, you know, this whole 2020 cycle, it's starting now and it's going to continue. People are talking about the prospect of Joe Biden running for president. And Joe Biden, I believe it was you that said, maybe it was somebody else, who wrote the law about the problem of student debt.
Joe Biden is not, at least history has shown, historically, Joe Biden has not been a good guy on the student loan issue. If he didn't write, he certainly helped write the 2005 bankruptcy bill, which took bankruptcy rights away from private student loans. And shortly after this bill passed, Sallie Mae relocated its corporate headquarters to Delaware. And Albert Ward and Joe Biden did a joint interview on CNBC about it. It was a big deal. So, you know, Joe Biden, I'm sure, is a good guy. But on the student loan issue, he's appears to be a real sellout. And in order to get our support, Joe Biden is going to have to come around 180 degrees on the student loan issue, and at a minimum, call strongly for the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans. So right now, this guy is in the doghouse. Joe Biden is not a friend of student loan borrowers.
Why do you think that people with student loans don't get more involved in the political process, either running for office, supporting candidates who want to eliminate student debt? Why do you think that's not happening?
Well, you know, throughout history, debt has proven to be a very effective means of conquering, subduing, discouraging, and otherwise controlling a population. You know, John Adams said, there are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword. The other is by debt. And so, you know, here in the present day, I think there's a lot of the same principles apply, a lot of the same dynamics. People are very distracted by debt. They're discouraged by it. They are demoralized and so forth. And so it's very difficult for people that are, you know, bearing a huge predatory debt on their shoulders to get up and actually fight the system. And I think that's a real tragedy. But I can only say that people need to get off of their asses and own this problem and help us fight at studentloanjustice.org, because this cannot continue. You know, student loans are exempted from bankruptcy today, but I can tell you that the lending system, if they have their way, they would very gladly and enthusiastically extend this absence of bankruptcy rights to other forms of debt, to medical debt, to credit cards, you name it, to all government loans. They would love to do that. There's nothing they would like better. And this country and all the freedoms that our forefathers fought for lie in the balance. I mean, the stakes are high on this, Cynthia. And I can only hope that people listening to this will realize, particularly if they hold student loan debt, that this is their clarion call. You know, the nation really needs them to stand up and fight on this, both for themselves and for future generations.
So you think that if this problem is not addressed in the near future, that there will be a threat to people who have medical bills and other types of debt?
Yes, absolutely. I have heard it on the street. There's whispers around Congress. You know, the lending system, the lenders, they would love to expand this model to cover other forms of debt. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You know, what better way to eliminate risk from your portfolio as a lender than to take away the bankruptcy rights? And I would say statutes of limitations also are on the table. So they've been successful with student loan debt, so there's really nothing to stop them from continuing this to other forms of debt. And before long, we will be a nation enslaved. And people need to realize that the founding fathers and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people have fought and died for our Constitution. And in that Constitution, ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army, ahead of the power to create a judiciary, ahead of the power to coin currency, and ahead of many other powers, is the call for uniform bankruptcy laws. So that is how strongly the founding fathers felt bankruptcy, the power to declare bankruptcy, was to the country and the welfare of its citizens. And we are seeing this being thrown under the bus as we speak. And people really need to take this seriously, both for themselves if they're currently holding student loans, but also for future generations.
So, Alan, this is a topic that certainly will be, you know, talked about again and again. And I would love to have you come on as this whole presidential campaign unfolds, to have you share your thoughts about the candidates and the issue and how people could get involved. So again, you are with studentloanjustice.org?
That's right, studentloanjustice.org. We've been around for nearly 14 years now, and I would encourage everybody to come to the website and sign up at our Facebook, and let's get ready to fight because this is a battle.
Okay. So I think you have a Facebook page for every state, correct?
Yeah, we do. We have a main Facebook group, and we also have 50 state chapters set up, plus another chapter for people who live outside the United States. So I would encourage everybody to just come to the website, studentloanjustice.org, and find all those things from there.
So as we continue our conversations, I hope for a groundswell of support so that people can live freely without debt and, you know, enjoy their life and enjoy their education. So, Alan, I look forward to having you on again on All Exits Closed. So this is, we've been talking to Alan Collins, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook and like us on Twitter. Thank you, Alan, and thank you, everybody, for listening. We shall talk again. Have a great day.